CityTalk 105.9 official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. CityTalk 105.9.
Hello and welcome to CityTalk Business with me, Frank McKenna. I'm the chairman of the independent private sector lobby group and business networking club Downtown Liverpool in Business, and every Sunday we look at some of the week's big business stories and talk to some key personalities, decision makers and entrepreneurs who work in and influence Liverpool and the wider Northwest region. This week saw the launch of the It's Liverpool, I'm Liverpool campaign, an initiative led by Liverpool Vision with an objective of doing the thing that we have spoken about on many occasions on this programme, improving our city's image across the UK. The Chief Executive of Vision, Max Steinberg, will be telling us more. Also this week, I'll be reflecting on Liverpool being named as the friendliest city in the country in a recent survey and focusing on some key events that are happening in the coming weeks. To discuss this and more, I'm sure, I'm joined in the studio today by political broadcaster and columnist Jim Hancock, a contributor to many publications, including the Liverpool Daily Post and EN Business Magazine, and Geraldine Turner from PR and marketing agency Clarity Creations. But first, I'm Liverpool, It's Liverpool was launched on Thursday. After the launch event, I spoke to the Chief Executive of Liverpool Vision, Max Steinberg, about his hopes and aspirations for this unique campaign.
It's a campaign, Frank, to actually make sure that the renaissance of Liverpool continues in the future and is understood by audiences in this country and abroad. It's an unprecedented collaboration of private and public sector stakeholders. It's about concentrating on activities that provide a significant transformational impact on Liverpool's economy, on our cultural programme. But what it's about crucially is the private sector coming forward to Vision, to the city, and saying we want to play our part in how the city develops, in what the cultural offer of the city is, in the big events in the city, in how we develop the economy of the city, and not just saying that, but putting their money and their resources on the table. And I was delighted that the Culture Minister, Ed Vasey, described it as the most shining example of public-private partnership in this way that he's actually come across.
And the campaign has been launched as It's Liverpool, I'm Liverpool, with that very positive spin on what the city looks and feels like nowadays. But I think Steve Parry, who was one of the launch ambassadors at the event this morning, hit the nail on the head when he said that Liverpool's reputation internationally has always been pretty good, but across the UK we've still got a way to go. How do you think this campaign can start to transform some of that opinion that does exist outside of the Northwest about our city?
Well, I think you're right about the international reputation of Liverpool, and just to say that, you know, we've been developing some very positive relationships with America, Brazil, India, China, which we're very much continuing on. But sometimes in this country, I pick up in London at meetings, when we get people into the embassy, and I'm delighted we're continuing with the embassy, that people come across that the doorway of that embassy, we make a presentation to them. You yourself have been involved in some of these meetings, Frank, and other partners, and they see what Liverpool looks like and they say, well, we don't recognise that in the city. You know, our view is a different view of the city. So there's still a way to go, I think, to get rid of some of the stereotypical views of Liverpool, which has somehow stayed in people's minds from the 80s and the 90s. It's interesting when people come here now, all the stats I'm getting show that visitors are coming and then coming back again. And so what we're going to do is use this campaign to mount a campaign throughout this country to let people know that Liverpool has changed. We've got some fantastic partners. The campaign you saw today will be on Liverpool Football Club's website on their television station. Everton have signed up for it. Grosvenor, Peel, Merseytravel, BT, the hotels, the Arena and Convention Centre, all of these organisations want to use the material so that for their audiences the message gets across. But since I've come back from the launch this morning, what I've also picked up on is actually we've had a lot of messages from businesses saying, could we have the material? We'd like to use it. We'd like to use it for our clients. We'd like to use it for our business, to actually how we promote our own business as part of It's Liverpool or I'm Liverpool. And you'll have seen this morning some of the wonderful names that we had saying I'm Liverpool. We think there's a lot more names that actually want to sign up from the Scouse diaspora who actually want to say I'm Liverpool as well and say positive things about the city. So the reaction we've had so far to the campaign has been hugely positive. And I think this campaign will be with us for the next several years as we actually promote that this city, the offer this city has, isn't recognisable from what people some people think 10, 15, 20 years ago, and will help dispel some of those wrong messages.
Mm. And you mentioned the private sector involvement there. Obviously, the Liverpool Plan Task Force, which I had the privilege of sitting on, done an awful lot of work in terms of ensuring that this was a collaborative and all-encompassing approach. But there are a number of many private sector companies out there, businesses I'm sure who are listening to this morning, who will be saying, well, how do we get involved? Who do we contact? And what contribution can we make to, as I say, what I thought was a spectacularly well-delivered campaign launch?
No, you're absolutely right. I'm obviously very pleased that companies like Grosvenor, Peel, the two football clubs, Mersey Travel are on board with us. But what I've said to the team here who are working on this, now we need to get this campaign, this material out into businesses. So we've already had a couple of the major law firms in the city onto us today saying, can we buy into this? Can we be part of this? A number of accountancy firms as well. We're presenting to a number of the business organisations in the city about this to their members. So there's increasing appetite about how companies can use this. And as I say, I've now taken a small team on to actually promulgate this. And we'll be going to businesses. And if businesses are listening to this broadcast today, as I hope they are, and they want to know how they're going to be part of this, contact Liverpool Vision. We'll come to your management team or your board or whatever it is. We'll present the material. We'll talk to you about how you can be part of this, how you can use the material. It's there to be used. I can tell you now, Frank, that we will be seeing it on billboards for the Labour Party conference, which is coming to Liverpool very soon. So that's going to be a demonstration that will be seen in this country and abroad, because, of course, that's covered nationally and internationally. But if local firms want to get involved, as I hope they will, contact us. We'll come and see you. We'll give you the material. We'll tell you how we'd like to see it used. We'll work with you as to how we'd like to see it used. And the more the merrier. The more people can get involved in this, the better.
Mm. And the materials that are available at the moment to use virally, and all the campaign materials that you can download and you can see on the website, are they free to use?
They're free to use. We want this campaign to be out there as far as it can be. There won't be any charge for using this material. As I say, we'd like to talk about how it's used to some extent, or some brand guidelines, but nothing too difficult about this. We just want to make sure that companies do use this. The more organisations that can promote I'm Liverpool, it's Liverpool, the better. So yes, it's free. There's a website. Had a lot of positive hits on the website today, a lot of positive tweets and Twitters about the campaign, and it's there to be used by everybody.
Mm. Now, we've spoken about collaboration and partnership, and you were very pointed in your remarks this morning about the work that Vision have been doing in partnership with the Mersey Partnership. And I think, you know, I, among others, have said that we feel there is a little bit of confusion around what the two organisations do. But nonetheless, Lorraine Rogers, who's the chief executive of that organisation, has been sat on the task force. I think the campaigns that TMP are running at the moment very much complement the It's Liverpool campaign. But as I say, there have been suggestions that all isn't rosy in the garden, so perhaps you want to dispel one or two rumours that have been circulating in the city as far as that's concerned.
I think I want to thank you for that question. I probably need to think of it. No, I'm very happy to answer that. I invited Lorraine to join the task force about the Liverpool plan because they're an important partner. Liverpool Vision's job is about the economy and the prosperity of Liverpool. That's what we do. That's what we're about. The Mersey Partnership cover the city region, and it's very important that Liverpool and the city region works together in the best way possible. So I wanted to make sure that what we were doing here dovetailed, fitted with campaigns by other organisations. There are some people out there, if I can say that, that want to make mischief. Sometimes it's easy copy, and it's easy to say these organisations, did they get on or not? I was very clear from the outset, and as you said, Frank, you sat on the task force, that Lorraine and the Mersey Partnership were involved in this campaign. They've been involved in all aspects of it, in the marketing of it, in the development of the marketing. They've had some challenging views, and that's fine. That's what we want people. We don't want people to come and simply sit there and listen. We want people to participate. But I'll say again on this radio programme, I want to work with all partners about the Liverpool plan, about developing Liverpool, the Mersey Partnership, the councils around the city as well, because clearly what's good for Liverpool, I think, can often be very good for those local authorities. What's good for those local authorities can often be very good for Liverpool. I think we need to try and bring as many barriers down as we can and work together across this city and city region for the good of this city and city region. So I am open to work with anybody and everybody for the good of this city. That's what Vision should be doing. The whole Liverpool plan, your involvement, Frank, other of your colleague partners' involvement, is about the collaboration of the public and private sector. Liverpool Vision will work with anybody to try and promote this city and city region.
I'm just going back to the It's Liverpool, I'm Liverpool campaign. I have to say, I was very impressed with the video that's been produced to the soundtrack Wishing, which was a hit for Flock of Seagulls, one of my old mates, Frank, will no doubt be listening to this, Frank Maudsley, but a Liverpool girl singing the song in an entirely different genre than it's people will perhaps recognise, but a spectacular backdrop to that song was some of the visions and images. And again, you know, I think it's worthy of note that that was a Liverpool PR and marketing agency that have delivered that quality of campaign material. And that's able to be viewed online, YouTube and that sort of thing, I think.
It's on YouTube now. But just to go back to the point you made then, it's very important to me. There are some organisations who I think sometimes actually have a point that public agencies don't commission local firms. They go other parts of the country. I'm very proud of the fact that Liverpool Vision commissioned Aurora Media. The film was commissioned from a local firm as well. And this is a Liverpool piece of work from Liverpool people who I think understand Liverpool, of course, the best. So I'm really pleased about that. The film's interesting because it doesn't actually... I don't think there's one shot of a football club. I don't think there's one shot of a cathedral. Actually, there's shots of the mosque, which is a beautiful mosque, and the Prince's Road Synagogue, which is one of the great synagogues of the world, as described by the Jewish community. And there's all sorts of parts of Liverpool that actually people, I think, either don't notice or forget about. So what a number of people have said to me afterwards was how surprising it is that even though they live here, there are things in this city that we forget about. Beautiful things, wonderful things. So the soundtrack was an inspired choice by whoever made it. I have to say it wasn't me. she has a beautiful voice, and it worked very well. But the images are stunning. So I hope that listeners will go onto YouTube, have a look at it. One or two people in the audience, and this is a very telling comment, came up to me afterwards and said they had tears in their eyes because it is so emotional.
Yeah.
And we're going to use it again. And again, if there are people listening to this programme who want access to that film for an event, a corporate event or whatever it is, let me know, contact Liverpool Vision, we'll make it available to you. It's about selling this city, promulgating the message that this city is a dynamic, creative place.
And if we talk about Liverpool's image in the UK, there's nowhere more important, whether we like it or not, than London. And you mentioned earlier in the interview that the embassy has been extended. Again, if we could just update us on what's happening there.
We've been very successful with the embassy. We've had a huge amount of meetings. I think that I can begin to see business deals being concluded as a result of contacts that are made from that embassy. These things take time to take off. The event we had, Frank, in the Gherkin a few months ago was because we couldn't fit people into the embassy, and therefore a company wanted to use the Gherkin, which was packed with people hearing the message about Liverpool. I discussed it with Johansson. Downtown have played a hugely positive role in all this, and I want to say thank you to you and the team for that. So we've opened a new phase of the embassy at the home of the Royal Mint, in the heart of the business district. Some major events coming up over the autumn, and until we can get people to make that journey from London or the southeast to Liverpool, if we can get them into somewhere where we can show them what this city has to offer, what's going on in this city, the business opportunities in the city, the culture of the city, then I say to anybody who says, well, is this a good use of money, Max? Yes, it is. Let's get as many people who have those stereotypical images that are wrong that we talked about before, Frank, into the embassy. Let's talk to them. Actually, what's happening is many of them are then coming up to the city. And you and I have both seen some very positive comments from people who have been in the embassy who are saying, I didn't know this was Liverpool. I didn't know you were such a science city. I didn't understand about the creative and digital industries you have in the city. And if we can bring those investors into that place, into the embassy, into Liverpool, bring investment into the city, sign deals, then I think it's a good investment. And I think the other thing that I know you were very persuasive about was we needed to have it open for a period where the private sector would feel that actually it's not just here today and gone tomorrow. So we're open for business in the embassy till March 2013. We're looking forward to a long period of activity in the city, and we will be bringing more and more businesses, more and more investors into that building in the city for them to see what Liverpool has to offer.
Fantastic news, I think, and congratulations on a brilliant launch. I know that Liverpool Vision worked really hard to put that together, and I really like to articulate the message from certainly downtown Liverpool. What a great event we thought it was today, and good luck with It's Liverpool, I'm Liverpool.
Thanks, Frank, and thank you also for the comment, because I should say that the team here have worked extremely hard, long hours with partner organisations, and the Vision staff were delighted by the response they had today, so thanks for that. And I'm Liverpool, it's Liverpool. Let's go forward.
Thanks, Max. Thanks very much.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9.
And welcome back to the programme. That was Max Steinberg you heard before the break, talking about It's Liverpool, I'm Liverpool, the new campaign that the city launched on Thursday. And two of the people who attended that launch event at the excellent John Moores University Art and Design School were Jim Hancock, a contributor to a number of publications, including the Liverpool Daily Post and EM Business Magazine, and Geraldine Turner from PR and marketing agency Clarity Creations. Jim, as well as being in attendance at the launch, I know that you wrote a fairly robust and some would say controversial column last week for the Daily Post, suggesting that all might not be as well as it appeared to be on Thursday between the Mersey Partnership and Liverpool Vision. Are you surprised, disappointed, pleased to hear Max saying there that, you know, Vision want to work with all partners and TMP are as much a part of the Liverpool plan and this campaign as anybody else?
One's always pleased to hear about unity and people working together on Merseyside. The purpose of my article was to indicate that there continues to be an ongoing debate about how many organisations we have in the Liverpool City region where there are overlapping responsibilities. And there have been, historically, proposals and thoughts about merging the roles of Liverpool Vision and the Mersey Partnership. My take on it, because there has been some reaction to what I wrote in the Daily Post, is that the Mersey Partnership is here to stay, certainly as far as we can see into the future, that the team there have managed to stabilise themselves because they lost a lot of money through the abolition of the Regional Development Agency. And Max is clearly, you know, said to me in terms that, you know, we are working together. I need the Mersey Partnership for the wider Liverpool City region. But the complexities are a little bit wider than that, because the other thing in my article was the difficulty of getting this city region to send out a coherent message. Because another thing that's going on at the moment, and it's perhaps not for today's programme, is the question of the elected mayor situation, where they currently will be voting just for the city, whereas Joe Anderson is pushing the idea of a city region mayor. And Mary Rimmer, the St Helens Labour Council leader, said she wants no part of that sort of thing. So there is the ongoing question of how we sort of have unity together. But I must say, you know, the launch of the Liverpool plan was an excellent day. The quality of the message and the DVDs and everything that was shown was excellent. We'll come on to that. But yeah, Max Steinberg says he's working well with Lorraine Rogers. I have to accept that.
Yeah, I mean, we have been, as an organisation, Downtown Liverpool, calling for a streamlining of the support and the operations from agencies such as Vision, TMP and lots of others out there, actually, for 7 years now. So this is nothing to do with Lorraine Rogers or Max Steinberg. The message that we've been putting out about those organisations coming together has been long-standing with us. And I think there is confusion among the business community and the private sector, whatever the powers that be may say. I also think you've hit the nail on the head there, Jim, in terms of the city region not perhaps being as collaborative and coherent as it maybe appeared on Thursday. I mean, I still sense that there is tensions around Liverpool being the senior partner in all of this stuff. And, you know, I hate making the comparison because we do it all the time, but you simply don't seem to get the public fallout in Manchester across the greater Manchester authorities as you tend to get in Liverpool. And I thought about 12 months ago we were finally starting to see an end to that, But over the last few months, my sense is that actually we've started to see some of those old parochial arguments about, well, actually, it's not Liverpool. I'm not Liverpool. I'm Knowsley. I'm Wirral. I'm Sefton. I'm Holton. Start to re-emerge. And I don't think that's healthy for our city region, to be quite honest, because unless Liverpool is accepted as the attack brand, then actually the city doesn't grow as fast as it needs to. And those other places which would have the spin-off and the benefits of the economic boom that we would hope to achieve, should Liverpool be able to continue the momentum that it's enjoyed over the last decade, you know, they'll lose out as well. So I struggle to get my head around the objections from places like St Helens, but equally recognise that there is still a problem there.
Yes, well, obviously, you could say that to some extent the Liverpool City region suffers by the fact that you've made the comparison with the most coordinated and integrated of the metropolitan areas of the whole country. Because Greater Manchester is well down the road now with a thing which sounds incredibly dry and boring called the Combined Authority. And they have now got some statutory powers, Stockport and Trafford and Wigan and all those places working together, you know, in terms of a local government structure. And I think there is a recognition that Manchester is the brand there. The trick here is to reassure Wirral, and you and I have exchanged words on this before, that New Brighton will be cared for, that the assets on Wirral and the museums and things in St Helens and so on, that the other attractions that we have here, the Southport Fire Festival and all that, that the other attractions that we have in this area will be protected. But but you're absolutely right that it has to be that they will get that on the back of selling Liverpool to the world, because when the tourists come here, there has to be a sporting chance. They just won't stay within the completely artificial boundaries of the city, but they will explore the sub-region. But it's convincing them about that. And then the other thing, of course, is the political issue of the elected mayor. I mean, I was talking to Joe Anderson on Thursday about this, because he is pushing for this a mayor for the whole city region. But the problem is, all we've got on the table next May at the moment is an election for the City of Liverpool mayor. And with the best will in the world, I can't see the government, even if they get the point, actually changing the rules so that we can have that by next May. And Liam Fogarty, who's one of the people pushing the elected mayor, I think he wants to sort of look at it incrementally and sort of at least get an elected mayor voted for and then move on. My fear is that without the powers and so on, people might reject it.
Yeah, well, that's going to be an interesting debate, and I'm hoping to get Joe on the show within the next couple of weeks. I'm sure it's an area that we'll explore. But Geraldine, with your marketing hat on, were you impressed with the event on Thursday? A good launch for It's Liverpool, I'm Liverpool?
Well, I think there was a great buzz. I think Peter Smith at Liverpool Vision and the team there worked really hard. They put their thinking caps on, and what was nice was that they reached out to all the agencies across the city and tapped into their expertise. They were well represented at the event. I thought that the film promoting Liverpool was one of the best I've ever seen. There were shots where I honestly looked and thought, is that Liverpool? It was absolutely stunningly put together with a beautiful soundtrack. And I think that really made people sit up and listen. So hopefully that's got the campaign off to a good start.
I mean, I thought it was a fabulous event. I thought that the initial video, the one to the tune Wishing, which Max and I spoke about there when I interviewed him on Thursday, I thought that was absolutely spot on. I thought some of the images were great. I thought it was good in some respects, and I've argued, you know, long and hard that we shouldn't just bang on about the Beatles and football and the cathedrals and all that sort of thing. And then, you know, found myself wondering why none of those things have featured in the video, but I sort of understand why and appreciate why. There was a second video shown, though, which was a vox pop of various people in the street saying various things with a microphone shoved in front of the face. And it sort of reminded me a little bit of these awful reality programmes that you see on TV now, where, you know, somebody's marching around with a camera and it's not particularly well organised. And you just had a bunch of Scousers, and some of them weren't Scousers, some of them were from other parts of the world, saying a nice thing about themselves or a nice thing about the city. Now, I wouldn't be comfortable showing that video to a group of investors. So that's my perspective. The first video, absolutely spectacular, thought it was great, loved it.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that the nature of those sort of vox pop type films lends itself better to the internet, and I think the point they were trying to make was it's inclusive. Anybody can get on board, whatever level they are, whoever they might be, they can use their iPhone, and I think there's a big social media element that they wanted to get across. However, when you put something together like that, it looks a bit cheap, it looks a bit hastily put together. It let the film down in a sense. I can see why they showed it, but I don't think that's the kind of material that would be wooing investors down in London or achieving the wider objectives, but I kind of understood why it was there.
Yeah, and what struck me was the reaction of the audience to that second video, because the first video, you know, people were almost on the feet.
It was such a contrast,
it was such
wasn't
a fabulous,
it?
You know, the hairs were stood on the back, up on the back of your neck. And then that happened, the second one. And I thought, well, we could have done without that. And also I thought Steve Parry was absolutely fantastic in terms of his address. I mean, anybody who's not seen, you know, he's obviously notorious for his swimming ability. But if you're looking for a good speaker, I would recommend Steve Parry. But again, I have to say I was a little disappointed that he sort of made reference to a couple of the old Liverpool stereotypes and jokes. And if I can come to you, Jim, you know, do we still, despite the fact that we keep talking the city up as much as we can and we say it's all new now, it's all vibrant, it's dynamic, it's buzzing, do we ourselves sometimes actually harp on too much about what other people might be thinking about us?
Yes, I think so. And, you know, I mean, Steve was excellent in every respect except that the harking back to the past, and he wasn't the only one. I just think it's almost a reflex action that it's always we're advocating the future of the city and being positive and looking forward to the future. And, you know, we attend a number of launches where the city is driving forward. But some people, not all the presenters, but some people have this necessity to sort of to give the historical context of that, and we're doing this because in the past we were, you know, a militant city with unemployed bolshy scousers and all this sort of stuff, and things about cars and stuff, you know, and we're doing it on this programme today, but let this be the last time there's any reference to it, because it shows a tiny lack of self-confidence. Manchester was a terrible city. I started broadcasting in Manchester in the 1970s. It was run down. They had a great political turbulence on the city council, not as great as here, but there was a lot of political instability, and Margaret Thatcher said all the northern cities were unruly and had to be stamped on and so on. But you never, ever, and you know, downtown Manchester in business, you never at your events there hear Sir Howard Bernstein or anyone harking back to that. They are always moving forward. So let's not hear any more about the past. And another thing is, I was doing a chat the other day with a student from Edge Hill University, and we were talking about the prime ministerial debates, and I made some glancing reference to Nixon and Kennedy. Now, this is a young gentleman who's actually studying politics, but I hadn't a clue what I was talking about. Things have moved on. The things they're referring to are 25 years ago now. So let's have no more of it.
I mean, I often have that debate with a number of people who were around 25 years ago who say, I can't believe they're still talking about us, you know, because most cities now have moved on. You know, things that happened 25 years ago in Leeds, people have forgotten about, unless it's Ken Bates, and that wasn't quite 25 years ago anyway. But I absolutely agree with you, Jim. I think we do have that tendency to talk about things in the past more, perhaps, than people outside of our city do. I do, though, still think that we have that hurdle to overcome of absolutely convincing London investors, if you like, that Liverpool is a happening place. So, Geraldine, good news that the embassy initiative is continuing?
Well, I think we really need to do everything we can on the inward investment side. I think Capital of Culture did a great job in stimulating the visitor economy and so on. But at the end of the day, we need more businesses to come and move here, make the decision to write a cheque, set up a business here, to invest and get a workforce going. It's not about paying lip service or just turning up and saying, oh, I've changed my mind, Liverpool's a good place, I might come there for the weekend. We've got that going. But actually getting businesses to choose and say, I'm choosing Liverpool instead of Birmingham. I'm choosing Liverpool instead of Manchester. That takes hard work, smart thinking, intelligent connections. And yes, we need the embassy to do that, but we need all the other stuff going on in the background as well to make sure that happens.
And you're absolutely right. It's about transforming Liverpool, isn't it, from a destination city to a city where people will actually relocate, bring jobs, bring that, their offices, bring the staff, if they like, if they've got the necessary skills and they're going to come and spend money here, but more importantly, employ some of the indigenous population. I hope and think that within the next few weeks, we'll hear some really good, positive stories about the investments that have been secured because of the work that's happened in London. But I absolutely take your point, Geraldine, that we've got to really start to up the game now in terms of getting the investors in place who can make a difference to our economy. And after the break, we'll be looking ahead to a number of business events that will be taking place in the city over the next few weeks that hopefully will add a little bit of value to that debate and to Liverpool's image as a business-friendly city. I'm Liverpool. It's Liverpool. We'll be back in a mo.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back to the programme. I'm joined in the studio this week by all-round rabble-rouser and political columnist for many publications, including the Liverpool Daily Post, Jim Hancock, and the very creative and talented Geraldine Turner from the PR and marketing agency Clarity Creations. We've spoken about It's Liverpool, I'm Liverpool. All this, of course, is against the backdrop of an economy that's in the toilet. George Osborne is busily running around the city trying to tell people that his plan A is well on course to be met and we shouldn't panic. But again, Jim, with your political hat on, there is equally talk now of a revision of the 50 pence tax rate, not before time, I would say. And also, you know, all of the economists' predictions that we would start to see a revival out of the recession by this time have gone south, haven't they?
Yes, we're bumping along the bottom, and most of the predictions seem to centre on the fact that we are going to bump along the bottom throughout 2012. This still doesn't compromise the sort of political timetable in this country, which I've always thought they were hoping for 2014 to be signs of measurable recovery. But it is interesting that this debate you allude to about what should be done now, you know, with the number of Tory MPs concentrating on the 50p tax rate, but you've seen the reaction of Tim Farron, who's a North West MP and potential...
I remember Tim well.
Potential
future leader...
He used to
sit on Lancashire County Council with me, James.
Indeed, potential future leader of the party, saying it was an abominable... I think very strong language, an abominable suggestion, and could only be countenanced if a property tax was put in place to squeeze the rich. So, very interesting political dynamics there.
Mm. I have to say, you know, the 50% tax rate is something that I think is a red herring, because I don't think anybody who is that seriously rich ever employs a tax advisor that would allow them to pay 50% of their income. I think it all goes offshore or into things that that they can invest in. And I actually think it probably costs us more in terms of the HMRI chasing those people or scrutinising those sorts of tax returns. But equally, and perhaps more importantly, I think what it does do is it creates a culture where people think you're not necessarily rewarded for hard work. And I think more than anything else, one of the reasons why Tony Blair was always a big advocate of not having a 50% tax rate was because of that environment and culture that he thought it created. And whereas the UK was once seen as a nation that encouraged wealth creation and entrepreneurs and enterprise, just by the simple issue of your tax rate standing at 50% for some earners, actually mitigates against that.
But the problem is it's not, you're absolutely right. You know, the higher the tax, we used to have a 95% tax rate in this country, and you know everybody knew that the amount gathered from that from a tiny number of people was trivial in terms of the nation's thing. You know, the main rate of income tax is the place where you raise revenue, and it always will be the case. But you know, you used to be a politician, Frank, and dare I say, maybe again. It's symbolic, and that's the problem. It's there now, and it's withdrawing it. That's the political journey that somebody has to make and take the flak as a result.
Mm. Well, I hope Osborne actually bites that bullet. I don't know where you stand on that, Geraldine. Are you somebody that was is happy to pay 50% because I know you earn well in excess of £1 million a year. You must do. Fantastic work that you turn out. You must do. Sati of Liverpool.
I've had good years and bad years, which I think is probably the same for anyone in my industry who's gone it alone some of the time and not others. But one thing I think is really important is that you keep that culture of entrepreneurialism where you can. You have to reward hard work. You have to get rid of red tape. You have to have a climate that enables people to think, yes, I can set up my own business. And I think at the moment, that's more important than ever because you've got an awful lot of people setting up in business, not because they want to be the next Richard Branson. They're doing it because they've been made redundant or their partner's been made redundant. So you've got a new breed of entrepreneurs who need extra help and they need to be able to have some optimism, and taking away any sense of reward is quite damaging.
I would agree with that. And as I say, you know, most people will only dream about earning some of the sums you've got to earn to pay 50% in tax. And I'm sure most of the people listening to this programme are thinking, well, it doesn't really affect that many people. But I know from the conversations I have with business owners and managers that it does actually impact on their psyche. And I think it does damage the culture of enterprise that we've so, we've tried so hard to encourage over the years. But if we're talking about encouraging entrepreneurship and enterprise, number of events that are forthcoming in the city. And I know, Geraldine, you've been heavily involved in something with Insider Magazine and Medicash, a fifth the business conference that's coming up in October, I believe.
That's right. Medicash has been going 140 years, actually, this year. They provide healthcare cash plans. So you might wonder, what are they doing hosting a business conference? They've got a lot of corporate clients. And one of the issues that it's come up over the last couple of years is how do people look after their good staff in the current climate? How do they motivate and reward people? A new concept called presenteeism as opposed to absenteeism has come up, which is when people turn up for work totally disengaged, not motivated, unproductive. A lot of businesses have got these new issues coming up at the moment, and cash plans obviously are a way of rewarding staff. But what Medicash wanted to do was put a day together and really focus on new ideas to get people thinking, to challenge perceptions around business. In other words, to make them fit for business, learn ways that they can do business better, look after their staff better, get the most out of their staff better, be more efficient and profitable. So it's a one-day conference on the 18th of October. A fabulous chap called Perry Timms, who is Head of Talent and Organisational Development, is coming from Big Lottery. He's going to be talking about using social media as a way of getting the most out of people. Lots of people have signed up already. There's a huge amount of interest. I think it should be a really stimulating day. And I think, you know, it complements well a lot of the events that DLIB are doing. We need to have more events in the calendar to allow people to share ideas. There is only so much you can do over the internet. I think Twitter and social media is great to promote them, but there is no substitute for getting businesses in a room together to discuss what issues they've really got and get advice from people who've been there and done it.
And I know people will say, well, Frank McKenna would say that, wouldn't he? But I have to say, those companies that have maintained a presence, maintained a profile during these very difficult years at events, you know, some people, you'll see them turn off for the opening of an envelope, you know, but they're out there. People recognise them. They will associate that attendance and that activity with success. And Jim, you know, you attend a lot of our events and you see business people there. They're not talking about recession, are they? They're looking to do deals and drive the business forward.
Yes, they are. And Geraldine's absolutely right about the dynamics. And as some of a slightly older generation, I'm delighted to hear she said, you can't do it all on Twitter and email and that sort of thing. You know, those are obviously absolutely vital, but there's no substitute for that face-to-face dialogue, the swapping of ideas. And it's, you know, sometimes people are having a moan, but an awful lot of the time you wonder what ideas are actually sparked at these conferences and in the fringes of what Geraldine's talking about. And, you know, and apart from that, of course, we need to increase even more the excellent record of the arena in terms of attracting conferences. You know, that's been one of the huge successes the last few years because it does generate business.
And again, they were talking about the Labour Party conference coming to town. Jim, I'm sure you'll be knocking around looking for all the gossip. But, you know, if you take the politics out of that, what a fantastic showcase for the city, because the Labour Party come. You know, we had the Lib Dems here, I think it was last year, and obviously because they're part of the government now, there was more interest in that than usual. But the Labour Party conference is the next level again, isn't it? You know, because the national media surrounding that and the international focus that will be on that that conference will be absolutely enormous.
Yes, and this city now is really established as a conference venue. And, you know, I'm sure it won't be long before the Conservatives come here as well. And, you know, the attendant media publicity. I mean, as we saw with the Liberal Democrats last year, it's those television shots where the reporters go to do their pieces to camera, and they're always choosing this absolutely spectacular and iconic waterfront. I mean, Blackpool used to provide something along those lines, but nothing like, you know, you're actually in the heart of the city. It's like you say with the which other city is, you can bring a cruise liner right up to the city centre and park it. You know, I think that's a lovely slogan, incidentally, in talking about marketing. And that's what we'll see in the backdrop is our beautiful city skyline, our new museum and all that sort of thing. So all that goes to sort of make people aware about our city, and it ties in with the Liverpool plan which has been launched and I think is going to be substantially used at the Labour Party conference. We're going to see It's Liverpool and I'm Liverpool, aren't we?
All over the place, apparently, yeah. At the conference, which is great. And I think it was good to see Bob Pratt, who's the chief executive of the arena, at the launch event on Thursday. And again, every time I see Bob, I can not but admire the fact that, first of all, he is one of those guys that's everywhere. But secondly, you know, that as a legacy for the city from 2008, I think the arena is it. It's been fantastic, Geraldine, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I've used it for all sorts of different events. One was for 700 guests with 30 different young people performing. Not an easy event to manage, but it went so smoothly. There's no other venue that I could have used for that scale of event before. I've got another event for Liverpool Vision, the now it's been renamed It's Liverpool in China Network, I must remember that. Their event is taking place there, and we've actually persuaded UKTI to move a full-day conference to have it in Liverpool, and they're using the arena for the part before networking event. It's a huge asset, and thank the Lord that we got that together and got the money together before this recession happened.
Oh, can you imagine? I mean, you know, we talk about Liverpool having difficulties in the past, but how lucky the city was that we got Liverpool one off and we got the arena sorted before the recession really started to bite. Another event that will be taking place on the 14th of November, downtown Liverpool, Liverpool Vision, and this fantastic radio station City Talk Business. It's Liverpool, the business conference. I think It's Liverpool is going to catch on, don't you? And we already have secured as speakers Steve Morgan, the owner of Redrow and the owner of Wolverhampton Wanderers Football Club, but a great Scouse entrepreneur. We have Gavin Wealdon, who's a North West lad who's made his millions through something called Applied Language Solutions. He was a recent personality that featured on Secret Millionaire. We've also got Sir Howard Bernstein coming across from Manchester, the chief executive of that great city, to tell us about how Liverpool fits into the wider strategy of the North West, and many more besides. And if you want to know about that particular event, that particular conference, then go online, all the W's, downtownliverpool.com, and you will see how you can register. It is going to be a great day, and it's at the Crown Plaza Hotel, which I think, Geraldine, I'm right in saying, is where the conference is being held.
Can I give a website address for that as well? It's medicash.org/fitforbusiness, and it's the 18th of October at the Crown Plaza.
Marvellous. Now, we're approaching the end of the programme, and it's been mostly business today, but, Jim, I do want to ask about what the political horizon is, because we had the first PMQs on Wednesday after the recess. I'm still not convinced that Ed Miliband is going to be the guy who can defeat the Conservatives at the next election. Do you think it's him, or do you think it's things like the Alistair Darling book, or is it just the Conservatives' time in the sun at the moment? And, you know, once they can get rid of the Liberal Democrats, they'll sail off into the sunset and win a two or three terms as we go on.
Yes, I promised myself, I've never done any political betting, but I'm determined to get a bet on a Conservative overall majority in the next general election. As you know, historically, Labour's first leader elected of the party after a defeat has never, since Ramsay MacDonald in 1922, who's the exception, but I won't bore you with the details of that, but since 1922, nobody who's first been elected after Labour been defeated have become Prime Minister. But that's partly because Labour hang on to ineffective leaders a lot longer than the Conservative Party, who wield the knife, Askey and Duncan Smith, very, very effectively. So my Conservative contacts say they're very relaxed about Ed being the leader. They think he has the Kinnock thing, that people just can't see him as Prime Minister. It sounds terribly harsh, but he'll have an opportunity to correct me when he gets here for the conference. I think the Liberal Democrats are going to struggle in the next election. I think it's just some sign that Clegg has seen off the worst of it. And, I mean, his conference is coming up at the end of this week. It starts in Birmingham. And I think after the disaster of May, lost the AV referendum, huge defeats here on the Liverpool Council and elsewhere, he's just managed to slightly differentiate himself. That's what they're trying to do. But nevertheless, I don't think there will be as strong in the next general election. I don't think Labour... You know, we generally elect people for two or three terms now, don't we? So that's the way I see it. But I think it may be a quieter conference season than people actually imagine.
Well, you heard it first here, listeners. It's the Tories for the next election. That's what Jim Hancock says anyway. We'll see whether he's right in two or three years' time. And that's it from me, Frank McKenna, and City Talks Business for another Sunday. Thanks to my guests, thanks to my producer, Jonathan Dean, and most of all, thank you for listening. Don't forget, it's Liverpool, I'm Liverpool. Have a great week, and don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9. Listen and log on to great music and great conversation on City Talk 105.9.